I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's pain-free Friday. Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed broken ain't a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad letters, bad tape, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny started smoking a fatty watching the Yankee game in the first end of the doubleheader, and then she drank a bottle of wine to wash it down in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do, but all my friends that come around flat to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's dead in my brain, splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Ooh, yeah. Hey, it's Farrell. What's gigging? Carver High is with me tonight. So, Carver High, did you ever get a nap in? You hadn't slept. You got up at 3 in the morning. I know how excited you were to do that one.
No nap. Just going to go all the way through here and finish this off, and that'll be that.
So, no nap, just under pressure. Just there was no time, and then...
No, I had a lot going on today, so no.
Ray Lewis wasn't having it. She wasn't going to allow you to rest.
Yeah, that usually doesn't happen.
She's a gamer. She's always ready for pain day. She's ready for NFL pain day in 13 days, son. This ain't no joke. So I just wanted to let you know that I got angry earlier, and I took a piece of chalk, and I wiped it all over my wall. I've ruined the white wall with chalk. I got angry like a child, and I just took all the crayons and I just charcoaled everything black and gray, like metallic black album. I'm watching the Yankees up 3-1 on the Mets in the second game of the doubleheader. Carver High, who won the first game? It was 6-4 Mets. Did they win that one? I hate the Mets. Backstab GM of theirs. Brody.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table. with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So, Carver High, explain to me what happened to Two Guys. Gary Sanchez is now, like, absolutely rookie ball hack. And Miguel Andujar, remember when he was so great with the Yankees 2 years ago? And then last year he got hurt. But now he's back, and he is an absolute bum, too.
Well, Andujar, I'll give a little bit of a pass to be quite honest. He didn't play last year. He was hurt. And he's gotten like, no at-bats this year up until about a week ago. So the guy basically didn't even get to play for a while. He hasn't gotten the kind of at-bats you need when you're coming back from a major injury like he was. Sanchez is a whole nother story. That guy has become an absolute stiff. I mean, he's hitting .125. I mean, he strikes out every time he comes up. That guy's awful. Andujar, I give him a little bit of a pass, because he's just not back yet. He just hasn't had enough time.
Did you hear the – okay, so when in the first game, they brought – the Mets brought Betances in, the former Yankee, right, to face him. And then there was like two on in the seventh or something, or in the sixth. There was two on for the Yankees. They were down 6-4 after they – you know, Green gave up, what, two straight home runs or something? Was it – I think it was two or three home runs he gave up.
Three homers today.
So yeah. He's given up four homers in two starts, or in two outings, like coming into the game, two appearances. Meanwhile, the guy's been great for them, but not anymore. Anyway, so here's the deal. Sanchez comes up to bat, and then did you hear Kay and these guys, O'Neill, I think, doing the game, and they're like, you know, this. There's no one that knows Betances better than Gary Sanchez. He knows. Did you hear me? They said he knows his pitches, his windup, his delivery, his release point, exactly how to read the ball as it's coming out of his hand, because he's the catcher with the pitcher for all those years, his all-star years with the Yankees. He said no one has a better chance to get a hit here on the Yankees than Gary Sanchez. Meanwhile, he swung it like he was Helen Keller. I mean, the guy was missing the ball by 4 feet. It was like he was blind up there. No offense to anyone. I'm just saying it was embarrassing. He has become an embarrassment of riches.
An absolute hack, this dude, the last couple of years. Like, and he would, I mean, a few years ago, he hit for average, too. He didn't just have power. He was a good hitter at the plate. And now it's almost not even worth it. You know, once in a while, he'll hit a homer, but .125, the guy, and he strikes out every time. He leaves a village on the base paths every night.
Do you think that they'll get rid of him ever? Like, at some point, they're just going to have enough of it?
I mean, how much longer can you go? I mean, at what point do you got to say, can we get anything for this guy? I mean, his value couldn't be any lower than it is right now, that's for sure.
Well, they went out and got Brantley. How bad is he?
Wow. He stinks, too. I mean, you know, he's not good.
Listen, when I first heard they got Brantley, I thought it was the manager, former manager. They were going to bring him out of retirement and put him behind the plate. You know who they should go get again is your boy, Francisco Cervelli. You remember when he played for him? And then he was pretty good with the Pirates. Now he's with the Marlins, hitting home runs against the Mets. Why not Cervelli? Do you think they'd ever go back to the well with him?
No, I don't think so. They're going to stick with Sanchez. It just is what it is. They're going to keep playing him. They're going to keep running him out there every day.
What a disaster. You don't think Cervelli hits better than him now?
Look.
Cervelli's a bum, too. He's terrible. But at least he's Italian, right, and he's got, like, you know, he knows where to go eat in Manhattan. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get the Italian guy in there that knows where to get some wine and pasta in you and get some hot women. Can we talk about hot women? I know we're not allowed to talk about anything else anymore in this country. We're not allowed to say anything about women or race or religion or politics. But listen, I'm looking for some smoking hot Italian chicks to go out and party with, just so we're clear. I just want to be as clear as possible when I say I'm looking for a little leg. In fact, 34C's Italian is Pharrell. I mean, she's completely Italian. If you only knew her maiden name, you'd freak. You already know she's Italian, Carver High. My wife's crazy. She'll kill you. Cut off your onions. She's nuts.
Crazy. Crazy.
She only puts up because I'm so good in bed. That's it. She hates me other than that. Such a lover. Carver High hasn't slept in a week, folks. I just wanted to say that again. It's important that we reiterate that every few minutes so that we keep him awake. Can't even believe we got the unbelievable, the guests we got. We got the harp flowing tonight.
Harp is flowing, coming up after the next break. Harp.
I got to say, when I was a full-blown alcoholic, I think that Harp was one of my favorite beers. Oh, I loved Harp beer. Oh, my God. I could drink. Honestly, I could drink 100 of them every time I drank them. 100. You have no idea how much beer I could drink. I could drink, you know, a lot of people, when they drink like Guinness, they get sick. Have you ever seen that? Like Carver High, when they drink like 3 or 4 Guinness, the guy that thinks he's cool, he goes to the bar and he's like, give me a Guinness. And then he has 4 of them and then he's out in the parking lot hurling. Have you ever seen that guy?
I have seen that guy because they don't understand how heavy it is. It's a heavy drink. You can't just go and do, and if you can't, you can't mix it with just, you know, shots of tequila or shots of vodka. You know, if you're gonna have shots when you're drinking Guinness, you gotta have Jameson. You gotta have something that complements it a little bit. People don't understand that.
So that's the difference between them and me, was is that I used to drink 5 of them every day, like, and then like 4 shots of Patron to go with it. And then Mafia would drag me up the street to do the show on Howard 101. We got hammered every day. It was happy hour every day. In fact, my boss one day said to me, "You guys are way better when you're drunk and high on the air. So have at it." That's what he said to us. Word for word. Drink more. Do more drugs. You're funnier. So we said, you know, that's a great idea. I was spending about $50,000 a year on happy hour between Sizzle, Lou, Mafia, and Shep, like the whole group. But Shep was a femme. He didn't drink any. He didn't drink. Like, he didn't drink
there's
anything.
There's no way that you had Shep at that establishment, no. And he was drinking. I just don't believe it. Knowing Shep the way that I know him, there's no way.
No, but he would go to the happy hour. He would just sit there and watch us all get inebriated.
I mean, what's he doing? Is he eating mozzarella sticks while you guys are drinking? I mean, what was he doing?
He's totally
he doesn't eat. Well, he doesn't eat. You know, that's the other thing. He doesn't eat either.
What do they call those people that don't eat? Holistic or something? What is he like?
I don't know, but like,
he doesn't eat meat. No, he eats no meat, no soda, no nothing. Like, he eats like kale and salad, right?
Yeah, the last 2 or 3 times I've seen him personally, I could tell he hadn't eaten in months. I mean, it was just that's how he looked.
Skin and bone. I saw him the other day betting someone that he could ride a bike from Harlem to downtown in 15 minutes.
Oh, I mean, come on, Chef.
It was like a race. Like, you know who it was? It was that big dude that used to work with us late at night, and he challenged him to ride the bike 15. It's like, he said he could do it in 15 minutes, and meanwhile, it's like a 40-minute drive in a car. But he said he could do it in 15 on a bike. And so, you know, the traffic in New York, you can't drive from Harlem to downtown in anything under 30 minutes. It's impossible. So anyway, Shep thinks he can do it in 15 minutes, so he challenged. Do you remember, like, he would take bets? Like, he could do wall sits for a half an hour and stuff like that. He would always challenge. We had a race one day in the street in Midtown Manhattan, and I got to admit, he was fast as lightning. Have you ever – because I played basketball with him. You know, he played college basketball. The kid could actually play. He was a great point guard, faster than a mosquito. He just couldn't shoot. He could dribble. He had great handle. He had great passing instincts, great playmaking instincts, but he couldn't finish. He couldn't score. He couldn't shoot. So what good are you? You know, it's simple where I come from. You either finish and score or you don't matter. I mean, just, you can't win the game unless you score, right? Somebody's got to put the ball in the hole. Can't win championships unless you score. But I noticed that he was challenged to a 15-minute bike ride from Harlem to downtown to Lower Manhattan. So I know that he never drank. I never saw the guy drink ever in front of me. And then, like, when I quit drinking, he was so happy that I quit drinking, because, like, then he had someone he could saddle up with. He's like, Pharrell's sober now. I can hang out with him when everybody else is sloppy. Yeah, I tell you though, I could drink that Guinness like a man. I was just professional at it. I got them in my fridge right now. I don't even drink, and I got 15 Guinness sitting in my fridge. I keep in case Carver High comes over, Bud Lights. I got it all going. I got Harp, I got beer, IPAs for Mafia. He only drinks that funky mountain beer up in the woods, moonshine.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so Harp is flowing. Carver High, can you bust off a harp for us? It's our favorite guest of all time. So people are clear, we appreciate all guests over the years on the show. I've had a million guests, and I continue to have millions of guests, and I really do like everyone, but I don't like them as much as I like Harp. I like John Harper. My man, Harp, how you doing, buddy?
All right, Scotty, how you doing? I appreciate it.
I'm all right. Listen, we poured you a cold Harp beer there to get going. We got a lot to talk about here. I want to start off with, because we were talking about it before, and I need you to clear this up for me. Gary Sanchez, I have friends that play beer league softball that weigh close to 300 pounds, that are alcoholics, that have no teeth, that hit better than Gary Sanchez now. And I also want to know what's wrong with, and Carver High's trying to give me a pass on Andujar. He went from being like an all-star 2 years ago to being like, I don't know, Gary Sanchez's teammate on the beer league softball team, because he can't hit either. Can you explain to me what happened to those two players? Why is Gary Sanchez such a single-A baseball player now?
It is strange because he looked like he was going to be one of the greatest hitting catchers of all time. And I don't know, he's been chasing for 2 years now, more than 2 years, and he hasn't looked like the same guy. Now all he does is really, he runs into some fastballs for home runs, but that's not, with his, considering his defense, and I know he can throw and his pass balls have gone down the last couple of years, but he still is a guy you don't want to trust in a big spot defensively. So if he's not going to hit, the Yankees really, you know, they're going to have to figure it out. I know Cashman defends him to the absolute hilt anytime you ask about him, but there's got to reach a point where they got to reconsider, because, you know, they don't really need his offense to win. They need a better defensive catcher if he's not going to hit in a big time way. So that's strange. I got to give Andujar more time though, just because he missed a year. He's coming back. I think that kid's still going to hit. So I need to see him more. He's kind of in a tough spot. He doesn't really have a position anymore. Mm-hmm. He hasn't played regularly, so I'll give him some more time. Sanchez, I'm with you on Sanchez. I've just lost a lot of patience with him.
So Carver High said the same thing you said. It was like hearing an echo. He said that Andujar needs more time, and I'm literally on a mountaintop on the other mountain range, hearing you two save Andujar's neck for me. But I have to say, I'll be honest with you. What catchers are, do you think, really? I mean, there's really not that many, in my opinion, that are good. I mean, Yadi Molina can hit a little bit. You know, I seen him hit a home run yesterday against the Pirates, made it 4-2 or something, and then the Pirates still swept him. And Pirates don't sweep anything except their own floors around PNC Park. They're so awful. But who do you think's a good catcher, like, that they would be interested in? I joked around about Cervelli. Like, he hits better than Sanchez now for the Marlins.
Yeah. Well, listen, Realmuto is going to be a free agent. He would be the ultimate guy, but yeah, you know, he is good. I don't know if the Phillies are going to be able to keep him or not. If the Mets, if Steve Cohen actually buys the Mets, then they might be in a hunt for him. We'll see about that, but that guy's going to get a big payday. But other than that, there are very few catchers that give you much offensively, guys that can both catch and give you much offensively. So I think at some point, if you got the offense the Yankees have, when everybody's healthy, and right now they got so many injuries, again, it's unbelievable. But if you're healthy, I think the Yankees would be better off just going for defense in that spot.
So explain to me, just so you know, I'm as mean as possible when I say this. It drives me nuts. It literally, I lose sleep. I used to Harp, I used to sleep like 6 hours maybe, and it would be a miracle. As you know, probably 10 years ago, it was a miracle. Now, 10 years later, I'm 55, double nickels, and I'm like sleeping 4 hours a night at best, mostly three. I go to bed at like 1:30. I get up at 5 to play basketball every day. On days I don't play basketball, I wake up at 5 still. I never sleep. So Carbide thinks I'm losing my mind, but I have an anger and I lose sleep and I toss and turn. And it's because Aaron Judge is such a peanut brittle wussy. I don't care how good he hits the ball for those 5 days a year that he plays. It is amazing to me that a kid that young, that big, that ripped, that strong, because I know a lot of guys I play basketball with are that big and strong, and none of them like are as candy ass as him. That guy gets injured going to the bathroom.
You don't know too many guys. I don't want to see the guys playing in your basketball league that are 6'7", 280. I got to see that.
I'm telling you the truth. This guy is. I'm telling you the truth. I play with 6'9", 280.
Okay. Well, look, so you're giving Stanton a pass here? It's all about Judge?
No, he's so bad that I won't even mention him because he's like, he's gone off to a French hospital and he's living in the Alps in a French hospital tied to a hospital bed. He's so finished.
Hey, listen, it's hard to counter that because it's really worrisome with Judge. And I think some of it is because he is so big, you know. I mean, and these guys all train where they put as much force as they can on their bodies. And as big as he is, I think this is going to be a pattern now where he's going to continue to get hurt because he's maxing out his body. And there's so much force on that body when he throws himself around in right field. But he should not be getting these hamstrings, calf strains that both of these guys get. I don't know. I don't understand that.
You right.
know, they put so much science into this training now. You'd think they'd have it figured out where they could find a way for these guys to stay healthy. But it is worrisome with Judge because he's still 3 years younger, I think, than Stanton. So it's a problem, especially when it starts becoming these leg issues. That's really when it's soft tissue muscle issues, then it's not. You know, I mean, he did have 1 year where he got hit by a pitch and broke a bone in his wrist. But when you start getting these leg pulls and things like that, it's, you know, all of a sudden you're Yoenis Cespedes before you know it.
So, listen, I kid you not, and I don't want to bore you, but I do. And Carver High, back me up. Do I play basketball with 6'9", 6'8", 6'7", monsters that are 250 plus that hang on the rim with their onions in my face? I play violent basketball in the hood and indoors with a bunch of former D1 and high school stars from New York City. I play in the hardest games and the hardest leagues anywhere. That's all there is to it. And I have never met, I'm being honest with you, I know guys that played pro ball that play now, you know, they just run and pick up in the city and in the hood, they still play, right? And there's guys that are double his age that still can play 4 or 5 days a week up and down the full NBA size court, indoors or outdoors, and they have no wheels, no knees, no backs, their hips are fried, but they keep playing every day. This kid's like 20-something years old, and he runs down to first base, and he's out for 4 months. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
You're right, but he's not alone either. There's way too much of this goes on throughout baseball, and I think it's because these guys do. They max their bodies. They put too much force on them on a daily basis. I think with the weight training and everything else, I just think that they pay a price for that in the long run. And I need to know, if you're going to be playing hoops and driving down the middle against these monsters, you got to be getting your sleep at night, Scott. You got to get more than 4 hours a night of sleep. Come on now.
Now, I'm averaging 1,000 every time I play in terms of just points alone. And I'm also batting 1,000 in terms of making enemies because I don't take any flack down in the woods, in the trees. When you come in to park your car, we don't do valet where I come from, Harp. We foul hard. When you're playing in the hood and there's no refs, it's called, I got six to give. Forget six. I got 15 to give. There isn't a guy I don't foul. Every time they come in, I foul them. And then I say I don't. I never foul anybody. As I break the guy's nose today, I played. So anyway, let me ask you this question. Honestly, explain to me, how is Brody Van Wagenen not fired today for what he did to his bosses and to the commissioner and then like lied through his teeth about it?
Well, you know what my theory is? Well, first of all, I think they're all going to be gone soon when this team is sold. But I think I have a hard time buying this story that Brody Van Wagenen, it was actually Jeff Wilpon's idea and not Manfred's. The Wilpons, they need Manfred on their side. They've had a lot of financial issues over the years. And now to get Steve Cohen, who looks like there's reports tonight that he's entered into an exclusive negotiations to buy the team, to get him passed it in the vote with the other owners, they're going to need Manfred doing some work on his behalf, because Cohen's got some issues, as we know, insider training and all that. And a lot of owners are going to be worried he's going to come in and be another Steinbrenner. And I think you need 75% approval in that vote. So I think the Wilpons were so embarrassed by what happened with Brody Van Wagenen and criticizing Manfred that they made him change his story. This is just a theory, but I have a feeling it seems to make more sense to me. And then they came out with their own statements, just crushing Van Wagenen. It just doesn't add up to me. I have a feeling that they did everything possible to make Brody fall on his sword.
Listen, Harp, Carver High right now is rubbing his belly because he said the exact thing. Listen to him laughing. Listen to him. You can hear him laughing. Listen. Listen. I can hear him. Listen.
Said the same thing on the TV show today.
All things fake, because it's Manfred that he was bashing, and you even heard him bashing him, and then to hear the guy say he was bashing Wilpon, it was so phony. And meanwhile, I fell for it because I was so focused on getting fired that I didn't think it could be fake. I was just like, he's got to be fired within 24 hours. All right, here's what we're going to do, Harp. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about everything else going on around Major League Baseball with all these teams. I always like to start it off with the Yankees and Mets and talk bad about them for a little while. Even though we love the Yankees, we're going to come back and talk back about other teams now. I always knew that it would be Cohen Harp because didn't he offer him $4 billion? I don't care about A-Rod's fame and J-Lo's greater fame. I think she's bigger than he is. I can't even believe, frankly, what he's turned into, because he was the greatest fraud and liar in baseball history. And then he sued baseball and then tried to take on the establishment and lost. And then all these years later, he's really one of the most powerful people in baseball with all of his TV that he does. And he's become enormous on television, Fox, ESPN, everything else. Then he's trying to buy the Mets. I actually never believed when he had like 50 people trying to chip in to buy the team with him that was a substantial offer based on one guy offering $4 billion. That'd be done deal with me. And then when they said, well, the Wilpons hate Cohen. I don't care who I hate, Harp. If you give me $4 billion, yeah, I'll hate you until you give me the money, and then I'll pretend like I like you.
Exactly. And I think they need the money in a lot of ways. They still have a lot of debt service loans and stuff on the stadium. They need to get out from under. So they need it. Yeah, that's the difference. And I think all things being equal, I think MLB would have liked to have had J-Lo, a woman in an ownership position. And A-Rod, it is amazing, A-Rod. He was one step away from being Jose Canseco, complete outcast. And Manfred, don't forget, he headed up that investigation when he was Selig's top, you know, watchdog or whatever, to get to, that led to the suspension for A-Rod. He had that investigation. They were paying guys like that Tony Bosch money for information so they could get A-Rod and suspend him. And then now they're like their best friends. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. But it all comes down to money. And Cohen's got by far the most. So Mets fans are just deliriously happy that this guy is going to come in, and supposedly, you know, he's already has a small stake in ownership for the Mets, and he's been a Mets fan for life. So everybody thinks he's going to come in and spend big time on this team. So we'll see what happens.
You know, I don't want to spend much time on it, but I'll say this. You had said before that the other owners are worried about him becoming another Steinbrenner. You know, I actually think George Steinbrenner is the greatest sports owner this city's ever known. I don't care about any of, like, literally not one in any other sport. I don't care who you put him up against. Steinbrenner, I don't even care what he did to get banned for a year or two. There's never been anyone like George Steinbrenner. And not only that, you know, his behavior is, put that aside, because he paid players like no other. I mean, like, he literally, he set the bar there. So I don't even think they don't want another owner like Steinbrenner. Steinbrenner is one of the greatest owners the baseball's ever known. They just didn't like him. No one liked his personality and his New York attitude.
Yeah, and he drove up the price for everybody else. That's what the other owners didn't like. You know, that's, you know, listen, George had a lot of faults and flaws, but he was like a fan. He really wanted to win like a fan. That's what fans want to see from an owner. And the belief is that's what Cohen will bring. So, yeah, but yeah, the only reason other owners fear him is that he'll drive prices up at a time, you know, especially now coming off this year where it seems like these teams aren't going to want to spend a lot of money on free agency.
So what do you think of there's two teams that I'm excited about is the White Sox and Padres.
Yeah, White Sox are fun, man. And both those teams are fun. I mean, Tatis is probably the MVP so far. Great young player. And the White Sox are loaded with young talent. That's, you know, baseball needs young talent to make these teams exciting, make baseball fun to watch, you know, offense. And there's not enough action around the sport, and these teams are bringing more action to the field every day. So, yeah, those teams, I even throw the Blue Jays aren't quite to that level yet, but they have a lot of really good, exciting young players too. And that's what this sport needs right now. So it'd be really fun if these teams like the White Sox and Padres get to the postseason, and you're going to have those best of three series, which is, listen, I was against the expanded playoffs because I thought it's taken some of the urgency out of this 60-game season. But once we get there, it's going to feel a little bit like the March Madness thing with these two out of three, you know, first round matchups, because anybody can win.
Right. I actually think, I'm with you. I think it's going to be cool. Like, let's go. Let's have at it. Let me ask you this. Biggio, Bichette, and Vladdy Jr., which one do you think is the best?
I think Bichette's going to be the best. I think that kid, he plays a shortstop for one thing, but scouts just love his all-around ability and just his bat-to-ball skills, and he's got some pop. I think he's going to be the best of all of them. He's really exciting to watch. I mean, so far, Vladdy Jr. hasn't quite lived up to the hype. Maybe he'll get there. I think Biggio would be a good player, but this Bichette, I think, could be a superstar.
Wouldn't it be crazy if, like, because I think the Dodgers, we all know how good they are. They really have become, I think, maybe the best team in baseball. I know they haven't won the World Series in a long time since '88, but they've won all those divisions in a row and everything else. Now with Betts, it's like they've got, they're really driving a Ferrari. I mean, they are really hauling ass in like a Ferrari. They look really good. And Betts just makes them even better. But I'd love to see the Padres beat them. I mean, honestly, I'd surf naked. I'd surf naked if the Padres beat them.
Well, listen, there's going to be huge pressure on the Dodgers to win because they've been there so many years now and they haven't gotten over the hump. And now there's no question they have the best team in baseball. Betts has added another dimension. But, you know, you're going to get to that. You're going to get to that same old question in October. Can Kershaw get it done? You know, Walker Buehler, what I call him, is that his name, Walker Buehler?
He's got
some injury problems, but I mean, he got some electric young arms. That kid Dustin May, man, wow, that kid's got an electric arm. So they got everything there, and it's just a matter of, you know, you got to get timely hits and get big outs in October, and they keep falling short. As every year they do, the pressure's going to mount. This year, they're going to be such a huge favorite that there's going to be huge pressure on them.
So I know that the Twins never beat the Yankees, but leave that aside. When they get Donaldson in that lineup, which is already sickening, and they win a lot, I like that team and the A's in terms of other teams that I think are dangerous.
Well, my pick was the Rays, Scotty. I think the Rays are dangerous too. My preseason pick, just because, especially when you shorten the season, you take that advantage away from the Yankees. I mean, they didn't know everybody's going to get hurt again, but that advantage they would have had over 162. The Rays, you know, they got that top of the rotation with those three guys, Snell, Glasnow, and who am I forgetting? Somebody else. Anyway, they got as good as 1-2-3.
Yarbrough, they have all kinds of pitchers.
Oh, Charlie Morton. Yeah, right. Yeah,
Charlie Morton.
When those guys are healthy, they're as good as any top three in baseball. Their pen is always loaded. I think they almost knocked Houston out last year. I think they're going to be really dangerous. But you're right. The A's are, I mean, they don't get enough respect, I think, because we don't see them a lot on the East Coast. But now it's been 2 or 3 years now. They've won 90 plus games. And this year it looks like they're going to win that division. And they got their pitching's better than it's ever been. They're starting pitching, at least in recent years. So the American League is going to be wide open, especially with the Yankees have all these injuries. Those playoffs in the American League is going to be wide open this year.
Do you think that, because I just so you know, you remember I used to do the show really, really late at night. And so I watched all these West Coast games all the time. I'm watching all these teams like the A's, the Giants, the, you know, Dodgers, the Padres, Arizona and everything else. I'd watched them a lot and they're just flat out good. That's just all there is to it. And I think, you know, it's like we talked about sleeper teams. You know, a lot of people were buying into the Reds, and I'm not. I think I don't know what they did tonight or whatever, but I know they were like 4 games under .500 going into tonight. And so I know I heard today, oh, we're not dealing Bauer and we're in it to win it. And, you know, we're 1 game out of the 8th spot. Like, it's like having a fat girlfriend. Seriously, I'm just like, what are you talking about? Like, you're the 1 game out of the 8th spot. Did they beat the Cubs tonight, Carver High? Oh, there you go. The Reds are going to win the World Series. Are you buying the Reds, Hart?
No, just because I think there's other teams in the National League. I mean, the Cubs look good. The Reds have been – they have been kind of a disappointment. That pitching's been good. It could be better. But they haven't hit like everybody thought they were going to hit so far. So, no, I'm not buying them winning the division. I got the Cubs, I think, the way they're playing. And I wouldn't even count the Cardinals out at this point after that 2-week layoff they had to get it going again. So I don't know. I guess if I'm picking a sleeper, and I mean the Padres aren't a sleeper, but they're the team to watch if you're talking about anybody besides the Dodgers, I think.
So you know all the teams like took off.
And I got to throw the Braves in there too, even all without Soroka. They keep bringing up these young pitchers. That Ian Anderson looked really good in his debut the other day. You got Max Fried. They still got a lot of good young arms, and now Acuna's starting to hit. They got a lot of talent, so I wouldn't count them out either.
Why do you think the Astros and A's walked off the field tonight on Jackie Robinson Day when everyone else had already done it for like the last 2 days? There were a lot of teams that wouldn't play and they postponed the games and, you know, everybody I thought flushed it out of their system. And then these two go out tonight and walk off the field after the whole, they pulled the Mets and did the 42 seconds and then they laid the shirt down at home plate and then they walked off and they wouldn't play. Are you surprised that they didn't play on Jackie Robinson Day when everybody else had already done it and then they did it on this day? I thought that was really kind of low class.
Yeah, unless there's some reason where they felt like, I know, like in the case of Colorado, the Rockies, but that was a day earlier where they felt like they didn't support Kemp and when he sat out, so they wanted to show support for him. So I don't know the specifics of the situation of the A's and the Astros, but it does seem like yesterday or last night was kind of, you know, that was the day to make the point. And if everybody was going to move on, everybody should have moved on. So I don't really understand that either.
So, you know, Harp, it's always good catching up. I love talking baseball with you. It's strange. Has it been strange for you? I got 30 seconds. Has it been strange, like, writing about baseball? And have you been able to go to games, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I've gone to some games, and it's strange sitting there in the you don't get access to clubhouse on the field, so you don't get a whole lot of value by going there. But just sitting there in those sterile ballparks, it's just really weird. So it does feel weird. Even watching them in empty ballparks is weird. But hey, listen, it's better than having no baseball at all. That's the approach I've tried to take with it.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I just wanted to say one last thing to you, Harp. My wife hits better than Aaron Hicks. I just wanted to say that.
Aaron Hicks or Aaron Judge?
Aaron Hicks. At least Aaron Hicks bats. At least he goes over five every night. I mean, at least he plays. I'll give him that. He's been hanging out with Gary Sanchez in that Ofer diner. They go to the Ofer diner. It's outdoor dining only, but it's Ofer. Everything's free. No, you don't pay for anything, and then you can't get a hit for 4 months. Harp, I love you. Have a great weekend, brother.
Keep driving that lane, Scotty. Keep driving down that lane.
I'm a pure score, son, Harp. You know I go to the 10 every time, son.
I know you do.
All right, John Harper, legend. All right, thanks a lot, buddy. We'll catch up again real soon. I love that guy. He's great. Harp. Pour him a harp, Carver. I, for God's sakes. Oh, there's Aaron Hicks, just struck out again. Meanwhile, my wife hit a triple. Wait a minute. She was on a date with another guy tonight. It's Pharrell on the bench. All right, so Yankees are up 3-2 in the bottom of the seventh here. Chapman's on to try to close it out. They're up a run on the Mets. Mets won the first game. I think 6-4 was the final. They rallied. I think they hit a bunch of home runs in, like, the sixth inning and took that game over. And it started with the polar bear hitting a big shot. And then didn't Mafia give us the business? Did you see that one?
I did see that. Mafia did give us the business because on Coast to Coast today, we were talking about how the polar bear has done nothing. He's having such a bad year. And then he went and he showed us in the first game of the doubleheader.
Well, I'll give you that, but I still think he's hitting 200 with six home runs. He's having a bad year. He had a good game today.
He's hitting better than Gary Sanchez.
He's doing much better than Gary Sanchez. You got that right. The Dodgers are losing to the Rangers 6-2 in the eighth, taking the night off down there in Texas, apparently. The Brewers 9-1 over the Pirates. The Phillies and Braves are in extra innings. Here we go. Bottom of the 10th in Philadelphia, tied at fours, bases loaded for the Phillies. White Sox 5-4 on the Royals in the ninth. Indians 12-2 over the Cardinals in the bottom of the sixth. Padres lead the Rockies 8-4. I told you that'd be high scoring tonight up there, not because of just the thinner, but because of the, you know, Padres and their bats are just sick. Diamondbacks lead the Giants 3-0 in the fourth. Bottom of the fourth. Angels and Mariners, top of the fifth, no score. There's no score there because both teams are so terrible. They can't hit. They can't do anything. That's a perfect series for those two. They'll be lovers. They'll score four runs the whole series. Let's face facts. Can you believe Mike Trout wanted to stay there and play on that crap team? Honestly. Seriously. Nationals beat the Red Sox 10-2. You talk about smell. I mean, it's coming right out of Boston this summer, isn't it? I mean, they are terrible. What a shame. Blue Jays 5-4-10 over the Orioles. Reds beat the Cubs 6-5. Rays 2-0 over the Marlins. I told you the Twins, Tigers washed.